Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
Yes, it's us again. We're back for another GoTo Unscripted. My name is Eric Johnson. I'm going to allow the other folks to introduce themselves. I'm going to start over here with Adam. Tell them who you are, what you do.
Thank you, Eric. Wonderful introduction. My name is Adam Keller. I'm a senior technologist at AWS. I've been with AWS for a little over 5 years, but previous to working at AWS, I led platform teams, DevOps teams. The topic of cloud infrastructure as code, automation, DevOps, serverless containers, all these really great things. I just love to talk about them. So I'm really looking forward to having this chat today.
Yeah, this should be a cool one. Elad, I'm going to turn it over to you. Tell us who you are, what you do. There you go.
Hey, I'm Elad. Great to see you guys. It's been a while. I'm the founder of a company called Wing Cloud. Previously spent some time at AWS, about 7 years. Before that at Microsoft, and basically been programming my whole life. And at AWS, my last job was to build the AWS CDK. So I had a lot of fun doing that, and excited to chat about infrastructure, infrastructure as code, infrastructure from code, and all the variations and the evolution. It's definitely something that I've been actually doing for probably 20 years already. So
that's, it's interesting when I tell people, so Elad's pretty humble here, but the truth is when we talk about infrastructure, I love saying, hey, do y'all know who Elad is? And you've kind of kept your name secret, right? So like Elad, well, I kind of know who you are. So have you ever heard of a little project called the CDK? And we love it. Well, Elad, actually, I know you said you worked on it, but that's not true. You actually created it. It was your baby, right?
One of my babies.
One of your babies. That's right. And so obviously a lot of credibility in building infrastructure as code, right? So I kind of want to jump into this. And Adam, I want to go to you first. If you're just watching this and you don't know what infrastructure as code is, Adam, can you kind of tell us what it is. In your world, what is infrastructure as code?
Yeah, it's, first of all, you know, so infrastructure as code, when we think about it, it's quite simple, actually. We want to build resources. We want to build, whether we're building in the cloud, building in the data center, wherever you're building. Previous to infrastructure as code, how did we do it? Well, we provision things manually. We'd go to UIs. We'd write scripts. We'd write automation.
Run
when things changed.
Yeah.
Right. We'd have to keep track of changes and try to figure out how to, you know, ensure that we're not messing things up when we make changes and that we, you know, are able to do all this, simultaneously. Infrastructure as code was born to help solve these problems, to give you a centralized way to define your desired state of how you want your infrastructure to run. And I'm going to be honest, we're at a point now where we're in the cloud. We have services like Lambda. There's serverless technologies. We call it infrastructure. I kind of just like to call them cloud resources or just resources. Yeah. Because really we're not managing a whole lot. I'm not racking and stacking at this point, but I'll digress there. But the idea is you're able to define your desired state and then take that desired state configuration. And in, you know, when it started, it was, you know, you think CloudFormation, Terraform. So I'm using like JSON or YAML, some sort of like declarative language, or HashiCorp has HCL, which is their DSL, which is a really elegant way to define your infrastructure as code. And then you send it to the infrastructure's code engine. And it's the job of that service or that tool to make sure that that desired state is deployed. And if there's any changes, it's going to make sure that it tracks those changes and applies those changes accordingly. So that's kind of high level, how I like to talk about it.
No, it's good though. I think there's some, because we're going to dilute this, or we're going to convolute or get kind of climb in and change this up here in a minute, because we're going to move from infrastructure as code to infrastructure from code. Now, and Elad, I'm going to ask you. So from infrastructure as code, talk about it. And first, let me ask you, do you call it infrastructure from code, or what do you call Wing, or this Wing, these Wing type languages?
So we actually call Wing infrastructure plus code. And code.
Terms are flying here. So yeah. Okay.
Cause I actually, and just, you know, I thought about, kind of like the evolution of this term. And I actually think that, you know, Adam's digression is interesting, because I feel like the cloud is evolved from the IT world in a sense, right? Like it's kind of like in the evolution of the data centers. And so the system administrators and the IT operators and their world was about real infrastructure, right? Like data centers and stuff, power and network cables. And it made sense to call it infrastructure. And we've completely diluted this term as a cloud industry, right? Like we kind of like, oh yeah, this is the same as a computer now, or the power, grid of the data center. But it's like as far from infrastructure, physical infrastructure that you can get. And I think the term as code is also kind of misappropriated in a way, because and there was actually a really heated debate, Corey Queen, I think, or not Corey.
Yes.
Anyway, there was some.
If there's a heated debate, Corey was in there somewhere. Probably.
Yeah,
call out to Corey Quinn. There you go. Yeah.
But when we released the CDK, we actually posted a job posting, and it was Jason Folger, if you remember him, who worked with me on that project. And so he posted a job posting saying, if you want to work on infrastructure as real code, and that stirred up a whole Twitter.
YAML is code too.
YAML is also code. And Jason
here
is also
code. Here we go.
You know, and I think like the word as code is also kind of like not really the right term in that sense, because I think that it came from trying to basically use the same workflows that we use for code, use them for infrastructure, which means, you know, you write some description of how you want your infrastructure to look like. You commit it into a good repository. There's CI, there's CD, like all that stuff that we've been, applying to software, we're now applying to infrastructure. And I think like that's kind of like taking these two terms that basically are not the right terms and combining them. And that became a very popular. So I've been thinking a lot about these terms as we've been building Wing, because Wing, the way I see Wing is about unifying these two worlds together into a single model. And so it's not about thinking about infrastructure separately or code separately as first-class citizens, but think about both of them as first-class citizens. Because to me, when you're thinking about the cloud, this is the instance of the cloud, right? Like it's basically this combination of infrastructure and application code that form your application, that you form your actual system, you know?
So I want to jump back for a second here, because both of you've talked about this. I want to dig into this a little bit. Especially for those who are, I'm new to the cloud, which shockingly is still the case. A lot of times we have a lot of people kind of new to the cloud, or I know that
that's a big world out there, you know?
Exactly. We live, eat and breathe this, but, I'll digress for a second. I spent a lot of time last year and the year before going around to different universities, and it was shocking to me. I would ask students coming out with CIS degrees, what kind of cloud work are you doing? And literally it was like, what will you talk about? Have you heard of the cloud? Yeah, iCloud. Okay, that's a start. So it's shocking how new the cloud is sometimes. So, and Adam, you talked about this, and then this is a world we live in also. But there's this the separation of infrastructure and your code has gotten closer and closer and closer, the kind of merging and the resource. Expand on that a little bit. So how is that affecting kind of how this is driving how we're building?
I love that. That segue was awesome.
Did you like that?
First of all, that was really good.
I was
going to
do it again if you didn't, but if we're good, we'll take that. So,
man, like that was just home run. I love this question because look, we have to look at how we've evolved, and Elad touched on it. We started with, the two silos, the operations silo and the developer silo were two very distinct, orgs, big wall in between. And, one was just focused on one thing. One was focused on their own thing. But, what we started to see is as the cloud, as building resources in the cloud started to kind of change. And again, it wasn't just racking and stacking. It wasn't only provisioning servers for then someone else to go launch, what they want onto that. But we're starting to see the application code and the infrastructure code move closer together. And I think it's because these worlds are the what you're managing underneath is becoming more obfuscated from the user. And I think infrastructure as code, when it started, it was very much, I define my resources and then someone, rsyncs their payload in, or, they kind of deploy their infrastructure that way.
Nice. That was nice.
I used to use a Python tool.
You could have sent FTP their workload.
You could have. Yeah. But he went with rsync. That means right. He's a real developer there, or operations guy.
No. Yeah. SFTP or FTP, if we want to just get rid of security there,
but yeah,
just go plain text. No encryption, but, anyway. So what we've seen with infrastructure as code is traditionally it was you define your infrastructure as code and then you define your code pipelines and you have to kind of figure out how to connect the two together. And this can be challenging because if I'm deploying AWS, let's go a simple example of like an ECS cluster. I'm deploying ECS, which is our container orchestration service, one of our container orchestration services. So I deploy my cluster. I deploy all of these things, kind of dependent resources. Now I have to think about that container image and I have to build the image, push the image, got to test it. I got to do all these things. And then I got to figure out how do I get that image to that cluster? So typically those were two separate things, two separate pipelines.
And two separate people, right? It was generally two separate groups that did that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we've seen with tools like the CDK, the CDK is the AWS Cloud Development Kit is just, it's chef's kiss. It's an amazing tool. It was, as someone who had been building in the cloud for years and using infrastructure as code, it was like the thing I wanted that, I could never fully articulate. And then when Elad and team came out and built it, it was like, this is it. This is what I wanted. I have been working with the CDK since the very early versions and it's just, only gotten better. But my point there is the CDK introduced these abstractions, these higher level abstractions. And one of those is the assets module and the assets library. And what that allows users to do is now I can define my infrastructure code using, a programming language, leveraging all these cool abstractions, but also I can bring my application artifacts and couple them with my infrastructure code. Now I don't have to worry about two separate locations of deploying two different people deploying these things. We can bring them into one place and we can manage all of our changes in one location. So I think this is, I think we're still early days in infrastructure as code. I'm talking a lot, but Eric, you mentioned some folks don't even know about infrastructure as code. The reality is there's still a lot of people out there that build in the console, that build in, using scripts, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're still coming into infrastructure as code. So
we're just a little bit judgmental.
yeah, exactly.
But anyways, yeah.
No, I just wanted to add one thing, Adam, to your point about, the container example or the Lambda example. It's not just about the deployment side of things. It's also about the surface area, right? Like my container usually doesn't run in isolation. It doesn't run. It doesn't just do stuff in like a vacuum, right? Like it usually interacts with the rest of my system, either other services or other cloud resources. And that's why this decoupling really matters, because if these were completely separate, you know, worlds, and my container could run without caring about its environment, then for all intents and purposes, the deployment story could have been decoupled, right? It might have been a reasonable thing to do, because I don't want to wait for my infrastructure in order to deploy my container. But if they are coupled, and I think like there's this spectrum of applications where on one end of the spectrum is this really isolated unit that just, you know, processes some data, it doesn't do anything with the environment. And the other end of the spectrum is step functions, I guess, right? Like it's basically something that has like a huge surface area with the cloud.
Right, right.
Then the more you kind of lean on the cloud, the more your application code uses the cloud, the more this decoupling becomes inevitable, because otherwise you won't be able to actually like, you know, orchestrate this deployment ever, right? Because so I think like this is actually one of the motivations for Wim, you know?
What I feel like, and going back to what Adam was saying, and even earlier, we talked about, you know, when we introduce serverless and we introduce services, right? So now we're not doing infrastructure. And so we need it. And I know you're saying coupling, but I see merging, you know, and when we're talking about the idea of, if I'm building, I'm going to quickly, instead of me doing blocks of code in my code, I'm chaining together services, right? And so it makes no sense to have operations say, hey, I need event bridge, or hey, I need SQS, or hey, I need SNS. As a developer, I should just be able to plug those in. And so, yeah, you're right. So it's inevitable that we're coming closer and closer. So with that, and Eletta, this is coming to you. So you built, and I'll talk about my CDK story as well. I remember I worked at Rackspace. I was working there, and I was actually building something, and it was like, I'm Mr. Ooh, something new and shiny. I mean, if it's new, I'm going to play with it, right? And I'm going to put it in production immediately. I'm that guy. So, and if you spend any time with me, go, yeah, you're that guy. But I remember playing with it going, oh my gosh. In fact, and he should not deny this because it's true. Matt Bonick, shout out to Matt Bonick, who's amazing. I introduced him to CDK. I said, Matt, have you checked this out? This is the coolest thing ever. He was like, yeah. And then of course, you know, he became Mr. CDK. So that's my claim to fame. I didn't write no CDK book, but I introduced the guy who did to the CDK. So, but
I didn't
you say, there you go. It begs the question here. You built this, it's used globally, right? Everybody's using it. You heard Adam say chef's kiss. It's the perfect thing. Why didn't you just stop there? I mean, you're an overachiever. We all know that stuff, and it's a little disgusting, but why didn't you just stop there? Tell me that.
So first of all, it's really, really fun to see people use the CDK. Like almost every customer we go talk to is using the CDK, and it's really amazing to see what people are building.
Hey, Sam's pretty awesome too. Just throwing it out there. So whatever, but go ahead.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think Sam, it's like we borrowed a lot of ideas. Like in a sense, if you think about Sam, these are the first constructs, right? Like these pseudo resources that represent higher level abstractions. And I think a lot of the philosophy around the CDK was like, let's just create an ecosystem of those things, right? Like, so it's not just like these three, four constructs. It's like a whole ecosystem, and it's open, and it's open source and extensible and blah, blah, blah. So I think like Sam is definitely has a lot to do with the evolution of that thinking, because it did exist before the CDK. And I've been preaching to try like merge these two technologies on top of each other, because they totally make that totally makes
sense. They do. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's really fun to see the, you know, usage of the CDK and the community, and in fact, what we're doing with Wing is built on top of the CDK. Like it's built on top of CDK technologies, on constructs, on JSII, on AWS CDK, on CDK for Terraform. In a way, it's kind of like a meta CDK. You could compile Wing to AWS CDK or to CDK for Terraform or to CDK for Kubernetes and use all of the constructs in the CDK ecosystem. But one of the things that we've done with Wing that I think is very different from the approach that we took in the CDK, and one of the lessons that I took building the CDK and related to what we've talked about just know is that despite the fact that infrastructure and application code kind of got together, I think there's still a place for decoupling between the platform and the application, because those are really different concerns, engineering concerns. And when you go to talk to companies that are not Amazon, then the world is actually, you know, in a very different mindset. In, you know, you have a company like Airbnb or Fiverr or any other company, their application developers, their engineers that are building the application, their problem domain is renting apartments. Their problem domain is not setting up VPCs and you know, subnet masks and IAM roles. And you really don't want that to be their problem domain. You want them to focus on optimizing the algorithms for figuring out which apartments to rent. But there are platform teams whose problem domain is to figure out the compliance and security and networking and all the stuff that's part of the platform side. And I think what we didn't do in the CDK, we haven't created this line. We haven't really said, okay, this is the line that separates the application and the platform. And so to that end, what I'm seeing is that CDK is mostly used either in the serverless world, where people basically have to own their entire stack. Like, they really don't have any choice. And in many cases, they're not happy with that, right? Like, they're not happy having to own the entire stack. Or you see CDK being used by DevOps engineers. And then application developers are still kind of like, okay, I'm just building my container. I don't care about what's going on in the cloud.
Right.
And that's the problem we're trying to fix, because to me, this means that in either modes, you're not really leveraging the cloud in the right way. Because in one mode, developers are not empowered at all, the container role. And on the other hand, there is no clear separation between the platform concerns and the application concerns. And so what we're trying to do with Wing is we're trying to basically put this line that says this is the boundary between application and platform. It still uses CDK concepts, so you're still using constructs to define resources. But when you're defining those resources from the application perspective, you're interfacing with the resources functionality. You're not interfacing with the resources platform concerns. And so the best example we have is like encryption, right? Encryption is not an application concern in most cases. It's a platform concern. And so when you're defining a bucket or a queue in Wing, you just say, I want a bucket. I want a queue. It's a functional unit in my application. It serves a function. And so that's something that application developers care about. They understand, because it's helping them solve a problem in their domain. But the concern to encrypt the buckets and the queues comes from the platform side. And Wing has this concept of platform providers, where you can inject those concerns below the abstraction, below this line. And so that's actually, you know, one of the main things, I feel one of the main differences between the CDK, the way CDK thinks about the world and the way Wing thinks about it. So technically a different persona, even. Okay. Definitely a lot of challenge to get that through.
I've heard you explain that before, and it does make sense to me. And if I get it,
most people will, because you get that.
Would it be fair to say primitives? These are primitives you're building, and maybe that's not the right word, but that's how I've always kind of explained it. These are primitives. They are just doing what the developer needs. But we haven't forgotten the fact that we need governance. We need those kinds of things brought in through the other layers. So that's a really interesting.
And if I can just add, so I do think it's a valid point. And I think personas are really important to just talk through. Because when you choose the tool, every organization is different. The persona, you know, whether it's it really comes down to who's using the tool and what your organization structure looks like. You know, Conway's Law, ultimately, I can get the most advanced, cool tool in my company. And if we operate as if we're, you know, waterfall and it's, you know, 1995, it's probably not going to, that tool's not going to serve us well. But I will say the platform problem is real, and we see it. The platform engineering has really grown, where we have now these, you know, bigger, larger central platform teams. I do think that platform engineering is really big in the Kubernetes space, right? Because you're managing this big, large, these large clusters, orchestrating them and, you know, vending things to your end users, your developers, and so on. But I do think the CDK, I see it with larger enterprises, the larger customers, that the platform teams are building these, you know, constructs. They're extending the abstractions through aspects, which obviously, Eli, you're very familiar with, but they're leveraging, kind of their own constructs and their own higher level, abstractions that they vend to developers, which developers use, and things like encryption and the things that the developers really don't care about are abstracted. And you can set those as defaults to make sure that when the developers deploy, they're doing it in the way that we as the organization have deemed safe and secure. But I do see a huge upswing and a huge uptick from just customers that I've been talking to and users of the CDK, specifically in the platform space. So yeah,
in a sense, what we're trying to do with Wing is generalize this problem or kind of generalize this pattern, because it doesn't make total sense to me that every platform team and every organization will have to build this construct library for their users, because. And one of the things that we're doing with Wing, which I think is something that we see a lot of traction with, is because we've created this layer, we're able to create a simulation below. So you can actually plug in a different platform provider based on not just the organization or your policies or your cloud environment. You can also plug a different platform based on the stage of development. And so you can say, when I'm developing, I just want to use a simulator, a functional simulator of this platform. And when I save an object in my bucket, it just goes into my disk because I don't need it to be replicated three times across two different regions when I'm, you know, debugging my code locally. Or when I'm running my tests in my CI system. And so I think like this idea of not only generalizing this pattern of creating a standard set of resources, but also establishing the layer, basically saying, this is a good abstraction. I think like creating a good abstraction is really hard. And I don't think that's something that every platform team out there can do well, right? I also think that it's very hard for us to do well, but I think that's why it makes sense to say, okay, let's invest in this, right? Like let's invest in figuring out the kind of like the POSIX of the cloud, right? Like the layer that separates the application and the platform. It's a big challenge, you know? And so Eric, you asked why I'm doing this, because it's challenging and a hard problem, I guess.
Yeah. And I know you and I have had that conversation a lot. I've been a fan of Wing for a long time as well. I've been driving Elad nuts. How do you do this? How do you do that? But we've had a good time.
Basically,
I've had a good time. Yes, I find bugs for Elad sometimes. But the idea of the, and I think you actually said this, and we can edit this out if you didn't.
But we won't.
But at one point you said, CDK is phenomenal, but it isn't. It wasn't just CDK. You were talking about SAM as well. So CDK and SAM are great, but they weren't quite enough. They were still, it wasn't meeting the needs of the developer. And we had talked about, you know, the developers looking for, and I truly believe this, you know, I've kind of come around full circle for a long time. I was saying, look, get to the cloud as fast as you can. You should test in the cloud and things like that. And that's a great kind of dream, but it's not a reality. The reality is developers want a single pane of glass. They want to build monolithic apps, same screen, but they want to run them microservices, right? They want the power of distributed apps. They want the power of, you know, decoupling, but they don't want to build that way because I got to build a little bit over here. I got to build a little bit over here. I got to do some over here. And so, that's a lot of that's kind of a serverless, I wouldn't say problem, but a challenge, because it is a different mindset. But that's it. But you had said, and you can certainly tell me I'm wrong, but you had said we didn't fail a CDK or SAM or even Terraform or something like that. It wasn't quite enough for what the developers want.
I think it's basically what you know, what I talked about earlier is this yeah. layer that allows developers to actually build their applications and focus on their functionality and the function of their application, the business logic, but the business logic, not in terms of like the thing that runs inside the container, the business right. logic of the system, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the point, right? Like the point is that in a way, Wing, I feel, is more compatible with the roles and responsibilities we had before the cloud, where we had a centralized platform team, right? Like we actually right. did have that model in the past, and their concern was to be responsible for the platform. And back in the days, the platform meant data centers and servers and power grids, right? And now it means a Kubernetes cluster and IAM policies and the VPC and a bunch of other things, right? But I think like that decoupling actually makes sense. I feel like it's a healthy decoupling. And I think one of the reasons it's hard for people to go to the cloud is because we don't have that decoupling today.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, there's another challenge here that, first of all, I will say like with Wing, that local testing experience is really
oh,
nice.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Getting that visualization yeah. and really that decoupling there, you see it when you're testing locally. Like, the abstraction is good, but I do think there's something, and I think this is a longer term problem we're all trying to solve, which is abstractions are good. Abstracting as much away from the user that they want abstracted away is a good thing. But it becomes challenging for the day two stuff. And I think this is still the problem. I think this is still a big problem in the infrastructure as code infrastructure from code space that we need to solve, you know, is I've built this, everything works, but now it's day two and I hit a concurrency limit with my Lambda function, but I don't even know what that is. I don't know how to even troubleshoot that. So I think this is like kind of the next iteration of infrastructure is code infrastructure from code, where we make it easier, you know, for developers to actually figure out what's wrong and get to answers, you know, quickly. And I think generative AI is going to be a big help there to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think we'll see a lot of it. Go ahead, Eric. You were going to chime in.
Well, no, I want to explore that for a minute because it's a really interesting notion because what we hear from customers in my role, and Adam, you've done this role as well, and is we hear, you know, they'll ask, how do I do A, B, and C? And of course, the standard technical answer is, well, it depends, you know, yeah. or here's 17 different ways, you pick one. And you see the customer, and the customer is just going, just tell me how to do it. The love of God and all that is holy, tell me how to do it, right? And so it's this opinionated way of doing it. Rather than me giving you 17 ways, here's how I would do it. And I think that's what Wing and Clotho and Amped and a lot of these different ones are coming out and saying, it's like, look, we're going to help you do this in the way we think is the best way to do it. Yes, there are 17 other different ways. But I think you hit a really good, note there in that what's the term? Paralysis of analysis, right? It's just too many options. Tell me how to do it right and help me avoid pitfalls like concurrency, and stuff. And you get it, you know, of course you're trying to, and this is the literal description of my job is trying to find the division between how much are we teaching and how much are we saying, hey, you need to go learn this before you use the service, right? But with the Gen AI and with, you know, these different tools that are available to us, we can start becoming very helpful, hey, are you sure you want to do that? Here's why, you know, and Elad, I don't know what you're doing tonight, but if you could build that in, that'd be great. So
yeah,
Elad's one of the fastest developers I've ever seen. So.
I have a trick. My keyboard delay rate. Are you familiar with that trick?
No, I have two fingers, Elad. I've never needed that.
You actually change your delay rate, the key delay rate. And so when you click a key for a long time, it'll really quickly. And so I think like it really changes the feels like it's faster, but it's not really fast. Anyway,
I have never. Adam, have you heard of this?
No,
really,
Elad. We don't face these kind of problems. We're average men.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing that out there.
I really, really like the, you know, your point about opinions, because I feel opinions are really valuable. I think, like, to be honest, you know, one of the things that I felt AWS hasn't been doing very well when I was there, and I feel still, is actually appreciating the opinion. I like saying this is the good way to do things.
Yeah,
I think it's cultural. There's something cultural about this. And Amazon is like, you know, it's a company of builders. It's just like, we'll just give you, you know, all these Lego blocks and you make your choices and your decisions. And I think to that, like, that's one of the reasons AWS is very successful in the cloud industry, because there are so many needs and different needs. And so I think, like, AWS had managed to lead by just giving people a lot of choice. And I think the art and the big challenge, and I think this is exactly what we're trying to do with Wing and I think a lot of the other approaches, you know, is basically to give people both, you know, give people an opinion, but give them the ability to actually completely customize the behavior. And that's really hard to do if you're creating a PaaS, for example, because if you're creating a PaaS, then your ability to provide full customization and full control to an enterprise platform team that really does care about something is very limited. And so you keep chasing, you know, the surface area keeps constantly changing on you. And so, and I think, like, the approach that we're taking with Wing, because it's a programming environment, it's standard library, it's very similar to the CDK in that sense. It's its ecosystem. And so you could plug in customizations at the platform level that completely control everything about how you're deploying things. And I'll give you just one small anecdotal example is, we had this team use our cloud API gateway resource. And the cloud API gateway resource basically is kind of like an express API, you know, so do api.get, api.post, api.delete, whatever, right? And you provide paths. And then you also provide the handler code. And that's something that Wing can do because, you know, it has this in-flight and pre-flight idea, so you can combine the infrastructure and the runtime. But the point is that the API is basically about the intent. And so the intent is I get a request on that path, and this is the handler that implements that, you know, that handles the request. And the default implementation, when you're compiling to AWS, the default implementation is API gateway and Lambda. And we had a team that had a cold start problem. And so they've been, you know, looking at different approaches and everything that they've done at the platform provider level. And so the code of the application just didn't change. And they've explored different approaches. And, you know the common approaches. There's like the warm-up,
PC,
cron job. And there's provision concurrency stuff and all of that stuff you can configure at the platform level. It's not part of the API here, but it's part of the API here because you're compiling to AWS, so you can use all the capabilities of AWS. And then the last thing they tried, which was actually the coolest thing, is they just switched it from API gateway Lambda to load balancer Fargate. And it's basically like 10 lines of code at the platform level that changes the API from Lambda to Fargate. And, you know, it made sense because there's a lot of traffic. And so they pay for a bunch of instances and all good. And completely eliminated a cold start problem in this case without touching their application at all. And so that's an example of why this decoupling is very powerful, but why you have to provide a customization, right? Like, you can't just decouple, just say, this is my opinion, and because then it'll only work for toys, right? Like, it'll only work for, like,
they need to be able to eject. Very true.
I just wanted to, it's a really good point. And I was going to say it earlier, but I'm so glad you talked about it. The reality is opinion is great. And we all need opinion, especially when you're starting like this. We need a path, but the reality is you're going to go down this path. And at some point you're going to break from the opinion.
That's right.
And we need to make it easy for users to break from that opinion in a way that's going to be clean and easy to digest for them. And then so they can build to their needs, because the reality is one enterprise, one startup, two enterprises are completely differs from one another. They could be in the same industry, could be Pepsi and Coke, but they operate completely differently. By the way, I know nothing about them. I'm just using two examples.
Pepper, but okay, whatever.
Is that Coke that owns them, I think? Coca-Cola?
I don't know, but I just say that.
But anyway, so, but my point is, I think this is important. And with other tools, this has been harder. I think we, you know, the way you're talking about it with Wing, this is a really clean implementation. I think with the CDK, you see it as well. You can build beyond opinions. You can extend them as you grow. And I think this is where you're going to be successful in the infrastructure as code infrastructure from code industry, is when you can give both, which is challenging.
Yeah. There's an art tool.
Well, I'm sorry. Say that again, and then I'm going to wrap us up here.
There's an art and a science to it, and I feel like we're really humbled about it, right? Like, I feel like that's why we're doing it in the open source, because we feel like that's the only way to get that feedback and make sure that we're creating these abstractions in a way that hold water. Otherwise, it's just, you know, us guessing.
Yeah.
All right. So great, fantastic conversation. I appreciate you both. And you know, obviously what y'all and a lot of the other companies are doing in this space is really cool. I'm excited to see it. Is it infrastructure from code? Is it infrastructure plus code? You know, obviously we can debate that. But with that, I'm going to real quick, if you have any shameless plugs you want to throw out, Adam, I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about those shoes. I really wanted to get to those. Yeah. Why there's 19 pairs back there. That's really cool. Any shameless plugs, Elad? Anything coming up you want to throw out?
No, I mean, happy for people to pick Wing up and play with it. It's all out there.
So,
all right, Adam, you got anything you want to throw out?
I do. Okay. So, first of all, the shoes, thank you. Yeah, this is a very unhealthy, expensive habit. I've had to stop because it's really unnecessary. So for the CDK, one thing that I'm really passionate about is helping customers that are using the CDK, whether you're new or experienced, helping to try to simplify some of the more complex, you know, topics. So we have a YouTube channel, CDK Live. It's just cdk.live. Go to your web browser and subscribe. Shameless plug. But
we'll throw that link in there.
Check it out. So, the first Twitch CDK?
The Construction Zone.
Construction Zone, yes.
Yeah. Let's go back to CDK Day. And who hosted that? The very first one. So, all right. With that, we're gonna wrap it up. Again, Elad, Adam, thanks for joining us. This has been another edition of GoTo Unscripted. All right. Keep building. See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.